and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the General Motors PSA Peugeot Citroën Global Strategic Alliance conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, February 29, 2012. I would now like to turn the conference over to Randy Erick, Executive Director of GM Communications and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us as General Motors and PSA Peugeot Citroën are here today to discuss our announcement regarding the creation of a global strategic alliance. The purpose of today's call will be to discuss the global alliance, and we will not be discussing detailed terms of the capital increase at PSA Peugeot Citroën. As you know, the press release was issued earlier today, and the conference call materials are available on the respective company's media and investor relations website. I would also like to highlight that we are broadcasting this call via the Internet. Before we begin, I would like to direct your attention to the legend regarding forward-looking statements for each company on the first two pages of the chart set. As always, the content of the call will be governed by this language. Prior to getting into the materials, we'll have opening remarks from Dan Akerson, General Motors Chairman and CEO, and Philippe Barat, Chairman of the Managing Board of PSA Peugeot Citroën. This will be followed by a more detailed review by Steve Gursky, GM Vice Chairman, and Jean-Christophe Kamar, PSA Vice President of Purchasing. After the presentation portion of the call, we will open the lines for questions from financial analysts, followed by members of the global media. I would also like to mention that in the room today, to assist with your questions from PSA Peugeot Citroën, we have Jean-Baptiste Deschatillon, Chief Financial Officer, and from General Motors, Dan Ammann, Senior Vice President and CFO. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Dan Akerson.
Good afternoon, and thank you, everyone, for being here today. We're pleased to announce a partnership that combines the best practices, strengths, and capabilities of two great companies. We can confirm that General Motors and PSA Peugeot Citroën are creating a broad-scale global strategic alliance that will improve each company's competitiveness and contribute to the long-term sustainable profitability in Europe in particular, but around the world as well. There are tremendous opportunities and synergies to be realized in this alliance. We expect unmatched purchasing power on a global scale and capital expenditures on future product programs that are much less than each of us going it alone. This will help both of us execute Europe-specific programs with scale and in a cost-effective manner. Meanwhile, we'll continue to operate our two companies independently as well, designing, building, and selling our own vehicles on a competitive basis. Just to be clear, this is an alliance, not a merger. And this is designed to enhance actions that we are already taking. This alliance does not replace our company's ongoing independent efforts to return our European operations to sustainable profitability. So what's in it for the consumer? This alliance will mean more products and technologies to more markets more quickly. For our part, we expect to learn from PSA and benefit from their expertise, especially in small car development, as well as logistics management. For PSA, they'll be teaming with the number one automaker in the world and a world-class partner. Our complementary range of vehicles offer the potential of huge economies of scale. We are so confident of the potential this alliance represents that GM will be acquiring a 7% stake in PSA. This further underscores our commitment to making this partnership a success. And now I'd like to turn it over to my partner, Philippe Varin, for his comments and perspectives. Philippe?
Thank you, Dan. It's a great pleasure for me to be here with you to announce the creation of this alliance. Our group is 200 years old and steeped in history. But what is truly exciting about today's announcement is that it maps out the routes forward for our future. The alliance between our two great companies offers true global scale, with combined annual sales of 12 million vehicles and combined annual purchases in excess of $125 billion. This scale is unmatched. This alliance was born over recent months out of a growing realization of the tremendous potential for very concrete synergies that exist between our companies. These synergies are essential for our future profitable development, both in Europe and on the global scene. We will establish a global purchasing organization. We will work together on future product programs that will not only help reduce our capital expenditure compared with going it alone, but will also enable us to bring to market vehicles that we would never have been able to do so alone. At PSA Peugeot Citroën, this alliance will strengthen and give real momentum to our strategy of taking our brands up markets and becoming more global. Dan, as you quite rightly point out, this alliance is not a merger. We will continue to maintain and grow our own brands. This alliance adds to the actions we have already put in place to restore our profitability, and it is down to each company to address their performance in Europe. To fund the alliance-related investments, PSA Peugeot Citroën has announced a capital increase of 1 billion euros. And I would like to thank you, Dan, for your confidence in this partnership, illustrated by your company undertaking to become the second largest shareholder of our group. Today is just a start. As the alliance takes root and develops, we will continue to look for opportunity to drive even greater value. We are delighted to have this alliance with the largest player in the world. Our experience in corporations and the savoir-faire of our teams will deliver the results that we expect. I can assure you that all my team is ready to meet this challenge. So let me now hand over to Steve Gursky from General Motors, who along with Jean-Christophe Kemar take you through the key elements of our alliance. Steve, up to you.
Thanks, Philippe. Good afternoon or good evening to everybody. Thank you all for joining us here today on rather short notice. As Philippe mentioned, myself and Jean-Christophe will run through some of the key messages, components of the agreement, expected benefits, and then we'll open it up for questions from the analyst community and the global media. I'm assuming that many of you have seen the press release already, so let's get right into the key messages or the highlights of the alliance agreement. And I'm going to start on chart four. What we are announcing today is a long-term, broad-scale alliance initially structured around two pillars: the sharing of select vehicle platforms, components, modules, and technologies. In addition, we are going to establish a global purchasing joint venture in order to further gain scale on the sourcing of commodities, components, and other goods and services from our worldwide supply base. We'll get into more of these details in a few moments. As has been stressed already, this is not a combination, this is not a merger, this is a targeted strategic alliance. We estimate the synergies between the two companies from the initial phase of the alliance at about $2 billion annually when full run rate savings are achieved. That $2 billion would be split equally, roughly equally among the two of us. And a common theme of this alliance is balance. Balance is very important to us, and it's a common theme of the alliance. We expect it'll take roughly 5 years until that level of synergies will be attained, and this largely coincides with the timing of some of the anticipated product program efforts. As we evaluate and potentially add more programs and services, this synergy number could grow. It's also important to stress that over the first couple of years, the alliance, there'll be only limited synergy-related savings as these things ramp up. It's equally significant to point out that beyond the primary pillars, we've created flexibility, a flexible foundation here that allows this to grow over time. We could stay where we are, or if we are seeing benefits, we can continue to add to the alliance in other areas. This could mean other vehicle platforms, other technologies, other geographic markets, or different operational aspects of the business. It's pretty wide open for areas where it makes viable business sense for both companies to leverage each other's strengths and opportunities. One of the things that Dan pointed out earlier on is the most critical message that we want to address here is this alliance is not a replacement for either company's independent and ongoing efforts to return their respective European operations to sustainable profitability. We look at this as adding additional tools to the toolkit, the opportunity to reduce material costs, the opportunities to put products on the road that are typically economically challenged, the opportunity to reduce logistics costs will help both of our businesses going forward. And speaking for GM, we've been working with our constituents and will continue to work with our constituents to pursue initiatives both on the revenue and the cost side to improve our European break-even point. Last, I think it's noteworthy how dedicated and committed both parties are to this. This is evident by the capital structure moves that both parties are making and the investment we are making. So at this point, in the interest of balance, I will turn it over to John Kristoff to go through the next slide.
Thank you, Steve. As we already mentioned, the two key components with immediate impact for the two companies are first, to create a global purchasing joint venture, and second, to share CapEx on R&D on number of platforms, components, modules, and technologies. Obviously, beyond those two pillars, there will be potential for further cooperation as we will go through the product life cycle and also through new geographical opportunities, but also for other new areas. The economic benefits of the alliance is expected in several forms. First, it will give the ability to both of us to offer products that would have not been so profitable or profitable enough if done separately. It will give both of us also potential growth opportunities on new products or geographical opportunities. Second, the alliance will produce direct savings related to areas such as purchasing and also logistics. Please note that synergies expected will be shared about evenly between parties, as already said Steve. I want also to insist on the fact that the partners remain operating as separate entities, talking about manufacturing, sales, and so on. PSA, Peugeot, Citroën, and GM brands will remain independent. Then, in order to take full advantage of the potential alliance benefits, PSA, Peugeot, Citroën today announced its €1 billion right issue to fund strategic investments and accelerate its globalization and upscaling strategy. In this context, the Peugeot family group is showing its strong support and its belief in the alliance by contributing to the equity raise, while PSA Peugeot Citroën is also excited to welcome GM as its second largest shareholder with an acquisition of 7% in PSA.
Okay, I'm going to handle slides 6 and 7 together and talk about the joint global purchasing platform. It's important to understand the size and the scale of the operations of the combined alliance structure. For perspective, the combined annual purchasing volumes are roughly 125 billion U.S. Okay, we would call that maybe 90 to 95 billion for GM, maybe 30 to 35 billion for PSA. This includes direct materials, indirect materials and services, plus capital equipment purchases. Globally, it's clear our buy is much bigger than theirs, but in some regions of the world, particularly Europe, that is not necessarily the case. We're going to be combining the best of our global processes and purchasing organization with the best of their processes and purchasing organization. It's going to be led by a committee comprised of representatives from both parties. The intention is to have a small JV organization, and there'd be a single global lead buyer for a specific commodity or component, not one from each side. Further, we plan on having the operations run under the exact same processes, principles, and metrics with a strong and cohesive global alignment. I mentioned before the possibility to extend the alliance into other places beyond the two pillars. A great example of this is logistics. GM intends on establishing a commercial cooperation with JEFCO, which is a fully integrated logistics services company and subsidiary to PSA, whereby JEFCO would provide logistics services to GM in Europe and Russia. We expect that with JEFCO's well-established expertise, we can better optimize our existing network of providers and lower our logistics costs. Jean-Christophe.
So, regarding sharing of platforms and components, the initial focus of the alliance will be on small and mid-sized passenger cars, as well as MPVs and crossovers. Furthermore, we will consider the joint development of a common platform for low-emission vehicles. We expect that the first alliance product will be launched by 2016. To begin with those projects, we will set up multiple project teams which are ready to start from day one to implement joint projects and programs. We are also exploring potential future platform cooperation across all the product spectrum. Program platform sharing enables global applications. We also expect to permit to both companies to develop specific products, programs with scale and improve cost effectiveness. Allow me to summarize that we will be the global leader in the B and the D segments with 2.3 million and 1.6 million units respectively, and we will try to reach agreement on those two segments with future products. Furthermore, the Alliance has a strong position in Europe and also in Latin America. Steve.
So let me talk about governance on slide 9. We're going to create a steering committee with representatives from each partner. It's going to be combined of senior leader members from both companies, and it's going to be responsible for the operational implementation of the alliance. The steering committee is going to establish teams to execute the day-to-day operations around the programs and other things we work on together. I should say that there is commitment up and down the organization. This is not something that was started from the top and the organization was told to work on it. This was actually started with the organization, the teams working on some projects. And the more the different organizations from our side, from Mary Barra's group or Carl Straka's group or Bob Socha's group, the more we worked on these things together, the more we liked it and the more opportunity we saw. The key agreements are expected to be completed and the alliance being fully operational during the second half of 2012. And I should note that the agreement is subject to requisite regulatory approvals in certain jurisdictions, mainly for compliance with regulatory law. Though at this time, we don't foresee any issues along these lines. Jean-Christophe, back to you.
As a summary, I would say that the alliance will give strong benefits for both partners. First, a real scale effect, scale for both partners globally and also and specifically in Europe. Second, the Alliance will give significant synergies to both companies, as we said, an estimated $2 billion annually within 5 years. Then, the Alliance will give more strength to both companies and gives one tool more in the toolkit, as said Steve, to improve our situation in Europe. Thank you for your attention. Now we will switch to the Q&A session. And first, we give the priority to the analyst committee.
Okay, operator, we're ready for the Q&A, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now proceed with the analyst portion of the question and answer session. If you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you'd like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. In the interest of time, please limit your question to one per line. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes from the line of Itay Michaeli with Citi. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon. I was hoping you could maybe split the $2 billion of expected synergies by purchasing, R&D, and maybe any other buckets. And then also, if you can discuss some of the CapEx savings that were cited in the slides as well.
Sure. It's Dan Ammon. We're not going to provide a breakout of the $2 billion, but I would say that the capital savings are included in that number.
Included. Okay. Then is it safe to assume that most of the $2 billion, or at least GM's portion, will accrue to GM Europe, or would there be other regions that might benefit as well?
Well, this is a global alliance, but obviously given the center of gravity of both companies' operations in Europe, we'd expect a good proportion to accrue there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Gaetan Toulmont with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. It's Gaetan Toulmont from Deutsche Bank Paris. I have two questions. The first one is that you talk about $2 billion savings, but since GM is three times bigger than Peugeot, I have difficulties to believe that the synergies will be equally spread between the two companies. That's my first question. And the second question is that can Mr. Varin explain a little bit more why does he need a $1 billion rights issue?
So, who's going to?
Jean-Baptiste de Châtillon. Gaëtan, yeah, on the €2 billion savings, if you take the example of purchasing, for instance, of course, the gain on the GM side might be in percentage lower, but if you take, and it's higher for Peugeot, but if you take the proportion in terms of amount, they will be fairly the same. So it's well balanced. That's an example with purchasing. And if you take R&D, we'll split the cost 50-50 between the two of us. So that's also balanced. So it's that's why we are in position to say it's a well balanced synergy split. On the €1 billion capital increase, we want to enter this alliance with a strong balance sheet. And, of course, the proceeds of the capital increase will be dedicated to highly profitable projects, triggering the full effect of synergies, typically projects such as low CO2 emission platforms or emerging markets project. So this will allow us to accelerate our globalization on product upscaling.
Okay. On that right issue, quickly, it's not linked to a deterioration of the environment in Europe and additional cash burn, which necessitates this right issue. It has nothing to do with that. Am I correct?
No. Yeah, Gaetan, you're perfectly correct. Not at all. All the previous measures that we announced on the 15th of February are maintained, cost reduction measures, asset disposals. Everything is going as planned and is on track. This is a different issue. It is really to fund the capital. This capital increase is really dedicated to those highly profitable projects that we are studying now and that we will enter too soon.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Adam Jonas with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. Question on the synergies. You mentioned in your prepared comments that there would be nothing for the first couple of years or very minimal. That's understandable. But what about dis-synergies up front? Have you tried to dynamic any upfront costs as you get your people working together, some dis-economies of scale up front, and maybe even a revenue impact, as you can imagine, could be possible when you see two players working together and the commercial uncertainty, even though you, of course, remain competitors, if you're really comparing everything, just the scope of potential products being eliminated, new ones coming, can create some upfront disruption. Have you tried to dynamic that?
We've assessed risks, Adam, here along the way, but the purchasing JV will be, we're calling it the purchasing light JV. It's going to be a small office. It's going to look at pull best practices as opposed to, let's say, jumping with both feet right away. We'll leg into it, so to speak. On the product side, we are going to continue to run our play as they're going to continue to run their play. So there's no disruptions on the product side. The products we're talking about developing are 16 and beyond. So we don't expect any disruption around that.
Okay. A question on mechanics. Any details you're prepared to share now in terms of the standstill mechanics of GM's involvement in Peugeot equity and any put-call mechanisms and any other joint ventures and any other projects you're working on?
Well, there's no put option here. That's your question.
Or, okay, then call option?
No call option here either.
Okay.
Standard lockup and standstill provisions.
Great. And I noticed that Peugeot's very profitable and well-run financial services business was not included in the scope of today's presentation. Is that this does stand outside the scope that you wouldn't see any cooperation on the financial services side within Europe, for example?
Jean-Baptiste, well, this is a global alliance, and we will be looking at expanding the synergies in different areas of business. But concerning financing, at that stage, nothing has been decided.
Okay, and finally, just to reiterate, and I think you've made it clear in some of your comments, but just to reiterate on this call, this alliance does not change the need for restructuring for either company at all, because I think a lot of people are going to assume that, you know, if you really are looking at everything you can work together on, if anything, there could be even more opportunity for exit of capacity. Does this change it at all, or does it even increase the opportunity to reduce capacity at either or both companies? That's my final question. Thanks.
Philippe Barin here, and I think we made it clear, and I want to restate it. We have overcapacities in Europe, which is clear for everybody, but the overcapacities have to be dealt with independently by each partner, and the alliance is not about dealing with overcapacities. So the alliance doesn't replace what you have to do to sort out the overcapacity question.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Stephen Reitman with Societe Generale. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello. Thank you. My question is for the Peugeot side, and that is, have there been any preliminary discussions with Ford as to your very successful joint venture on diesel engine production, and could there be some implications if you're now seen to be getting closer with General Motors? Thank you.
So regarding more globally about our cooperation, obviously we have successful cooperation, and we don't want to harm those cooperation through that islands, and there is no, we have contract running, and there is no impact on those corporations.
Right. And secondly, could you also comment, you commented that you envisage the corporations' main focus to be on the B and the D segment to start with. You've made a mention on vans, which maybe it seems to be a more open opportunity already.
I mean, we during the last 2 months, we covered absolutely all segments, and we have, very broad discussions. And, we have not taken any decision on any programs because we are on the very beginning of the programs. And obviously, we don't... what we mentioned today is that we focused as a first step on those two segments.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Brian Johnson with Barclays Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Good morning or good afternoon. Two questions. First is on the GM side, and second I'd like to hear both CEOs answer. On the GM side, why did you think an equity investment was needed to see this deal? And then the second question is kind of given mixed track records of alliances across the global autosphere, how are both of you planning to drive accountability for results of this alliance through your line organization?
So I'll handle the first one. Peugeot's going to raise capital as part of this to help execute this. We wanted to show our commitment and provide support for this. It's important for us to have strong financial partners that we deal with, and to the extent this makes them stronger, we're fully supportive of that.
This is Dan Ackerson. Let me comment on the cooperation. As Steve said, there'll be a steering committee that will oversee the activities, and then on a very personal level, Philippe and I will maintain a active involvement in the day-to-day evolutions that will inevitably come to pass, and have a resolution mechanism between not only the steering committee but ourselves to make sure that this works. And the good thing about this is it's synergistically it's balanced. There are concrete synergies as we see them, and the best business arrangements are those that are balanced and wherein both parties can benefit equally. And so we have our self-interest at heart, and we have our joint interest at the center of it as well.
I have nothing to add.
And will you be changing the performance metrics of some of your direct reports to hold them accountable for things like purchasing savings?
Yes.
It's so
okay,
important
thanks.
For Philippe. It's so important for PSA that the performance metrics, be it on product and project development and on purchasing, have to perfectly match the objectives of the alliance.
Okay, thanks.
And our next question comes from the line of Philip Watkins with Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Oh, thanks for taking my my question. I just wanted to be absolutely sure, actually on the Peugeot side, the $1 billion capital raise, does that include the investment from GM? That's my first question. I guess I'm putting this in the context of our GM buying treasury shares above this $1 billion, or is the $1 billion a rights issue? And then there's an additional acquisition by GM of 7% stake taking into account treasury shares.
Jean-Baptiste, now the $1 billion is the total amount of which GM is participating and alongside with the family, the Peugeot family. So it is a total amount.
So it's a $1 billion rights issue then?
Yes.
So it's not partly treasury shares, it's a rights issue? Yeah.
Yes.
Why is Peugeot not taking a stake in? I can imagine, but why are they not? Why are you not taking a stake in GM to sort of cement the relationship?
Well, Philippe speaking. I think in the current situation of the group and going for this rights issue to fund our future, I think the best use of our rights issue and the proceeds is indeed to finance the development plan that we have.
Mm. And if I could just finally, could you give any indication at all of the synergies in year 3, 4, 5? I know you mentioned it would be quite tough to get some for the first 2 years and most will be secured in 5 years, but year 3 and 4, perhaps, how they will ramp up.
We're not going to provide any additional guidance at this point on the synergy cadence, but I think the easiest way to think about it is that most of the synergies will come in line with the cadence of the product programs, as they're launched. So if you think about a typical product development cycle, obviously most of the, or a good chunk of the purchasing savings will come from the programs that we work on jointly. There'll clearly be some opportunity in the near term outside of those programs for purchasing, outside of those programs for logistics on our side, and then some other moderate savings as we move through the first couple of years. But think about most of it as coming in line with the cadence of the product programs.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Rod Lache with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Just a couple questions about the common platform strategy. Do you have an estimate of what percentage of each of your respective volumes will be coming from these small, mid, MPV, and crossover platforms that you're working with? Are these going to also be brought to GM globally? I know you targets yourselves on getting to global platforms. And then just lastly, one of the challenges I would imagine is with these platform strategies is just syncing up your programs, since I would imagine that each of you have been underway with your own product development cadence. Are either of you discontinuing existing programs that are underway, and does that have any impact on your future product cadence?
Yeah, Rod, I'll handle that one. So too early to tell what portion of volume is going to be, global volume is going to be on these combined platforms. The answer to global is yes. Some of these will be global. The third question was, are we adjusting cadences at all? If we do, it'll be small. But we found, frankly, that a lot of our stuff lines up pretty good. So that's basically it. I mean, it's too early to tell. We're just getting into this, just getting started. As we said in the release, the first one will be produced in around 16 or so.
All right, thank you.
And remember, it's important just on these programs. There are some programs that are the savings come from direct savings, as Jean-Christophe mentioned before, and also the opportunity that some of these programs are economically challenged on their own for a number of reasons. Could be size, could be scale, what have you. And together, we have a better shot at making some of these work.
The following question will conclude the analyst portion. Following this question, we will proceed with the media portion of the question and answer session. If you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your cell phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. The final analyst question comes from George Dien with NatAccess. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. I have two questions, if I may. On the synergy, first of all, could you maybe distinguish between, let's say, pure cost savings, cost avoidance, and possibly incremental revenues that you expect from this alliance? And will the alliance allow for things like cross-manufacturing or cross-badging at all? Second point is whether you could elaborate on the benefits you expect outside of Europe, any specific plan for Latin America, China, or India, for that matter? Thank you.
Okay. Jean-Baptiste, as we mentioned before, and as Dan mentioned, we're not giving the split of the synergies. So it's as Dan explained, they will come along with the. On they are, of course, all the purchasing side is cost related, and of course, on the R&D and CapEx savings will come quickly with the projects we'll do together. On the regional aspects, we, of course, it's a global alliance, and regions like Latin America will benefit from this alliance. On China, or those we don't comment at that stage because we have not worked on it yet.
Just maybe to clarify the first point, does the $2 billion include any contribution from incremental revenues at all?
No, it's clearly only R&D and CapEx savings and purchasing benefits.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Gilles Guillaume with Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hello from Reuters in Paris. I've got a question to Mr. Varin about the focus to reach agreement on B and D segments. I'd like you to explain what it means for the different products of Citroën and Peugeot on those two segments. Does it mean that the following generation is going to be replaced by a common platform? And will it start with the Citroën C3? And in that case, where, in which plant is it going to be made?
First, I think we have it being clear that we will not comment on specific products at this stage. We confirm that our common work will be on the small platforms and the mid-sized platforms. And as I mentioned to you, the first product will be produced in 2016. So there could be down the road, obviously, some industrial optimization. But today, there is no impact on production.
Next question.
Operator, we're ready for the next question, please.
Certainly. Our next question comes from the line of Laura Lenke with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Actually, I just had two questions, really. The first one is regarding the issue of overcapacity in Europe. You said that this has to be dealt with independently by each partner. So I was just wondering if you're also willing to lend capacity to other players, for example, from Asia, which may, you know, be short on in terms of capacity in Europe, and you could basically provide that for them at a certain fee. And then the other question I had was just, I was just wondering what the unions think about this deal and if you involved them in your negotiations at an earlier stage. Thank you.
I'll take the second question. we've had discussions with our unions. We've spoken to them earlier today. We've brought them up to speed on our negotiations, and we will continue to respect the co-determination process in Germany.
I think the same in France and for PSA, and we are, as we speak, informing the unions, and we'll follow the appropriate process. And to come to your first point, our goal in life is not to help our competitors.
Okay.
And our next question comes from the line of Rüdiger Cohen with FAZ. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Rüdiger Köhn, Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung in Germany. Question to GM, what will be the role of Opel in this alliance? Second, are you planning to help PSR to build a global footprint by helping in sales and marketing and selling cars outside of Europe? Number three, how can you guarantee that there will be no cannibalization between PSA and Opel? And last question, to make it absolutely clear, you do not intend to increase the stake in PSA above the 7%.
Okay, let me try a few of those. What will Opel's, with the alliance, there's a governance structure of the alliance. There'll be key representatives of the General Motors organization involved in that governance structure. And I would expect Opel to have influence in that governance structure, frankly, up and down that throughout the operational execution of this. The last question was, are we going to go above 7%? The answer is no. There was questions in the middle that could you repeat some of those?
Yeah. Are you planning to help PSA to build up a global footprint selling cars outside of Europe because of your great network?
Well, they're not going to use our network. They have their own network, and what they do through their network is their decision.
Even not in Asia and Latin America?
they have their own network in those markets, and they'll do just like we have our own network in those markets, and we'll work through our own networks. Do we expect to be cannibalization? We think the designs of the product are pretty different right now. I think you could see the designs of the product are pretty different. We don't expect a lot of cannibalization. We plan on competing on our own with our own brands, with our own designs, where we will share components, under components, similar to the way, frankly, other companies share components with their with either their sister brands or with other companies.
Okay, thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Veronique Dupont with AFP. Please go ahead.
Hello. I would like to know if you could comment on the other alliance you may be seeking at the same time. There was talks today about PSA maybe being in touch with Chrysler and also on GM being negotiating potential other alliances with other European car makers.
You, please.
You know, I think we have enough on our plates to make this one very successful. And I think we are absolutely mobilized to make it happen in the best ways possible.
And the purpose of today is to focus on this one. This will obviously be our most important relationship. We have other relationships right now with other OEMs on specific products, and we expect to continue those.
For PSA, do you deny being in talk maybe with Chrysler separately?
I think I have answered your question, and I would say the same, make the same statement as what is said Steve, which is we have currently already some corporations which are successful. We don't do anything which harms this corporation.
This is Dan Ackerson from the GM side. Obviously, we have a unbelievably successful relationship with Shanghai Auto. They're critically important to our Asian operations. This is a global alliance that's emerging, and we see concrete synergies, benefits for both parties. And quite candidly, I think as we get deeper into the relationship, there may be other things that develop. But I think it's premature to comment any further than that.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Todd Lasse with Motor Trend. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I guess this would be for Mr. Varin. Could you tell me, are you interested in the in General Motors Voltec platform, Voltec technology? Will there be any work together on continued development of that?
I thought you were going to ask if he was interested in the Camaro.
Well, maybe, yeah, there you go.
Go ahead.
That's a great question. You can answer both if you'd like.
Don't help. Well, as I said, we have been through all the, the joint product portfolio, and obviously we will take, joint initiative in some areas, but it's too early to be specific at this stage. I mean, we are contemplating several opportunities, but it's really, frankly, too early to comment.
And if I could just kind of clarify what you were saying about global platforms, obviously, if you're going to be working on B and D cars together, that means that would affect Chevrolets and Buicks, for example. It's not just limited to cars sold outside of North America. Would that be a fair statement?
It's logical.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
And our next question comes from the line of Ray Massey with Daily Mail. Please go ahead.
Hello. Apologies, I was cut off during the answer to one earlier key question, so it may cut across some of that. But there's great concern in the UK about the future of the GM Ellesmere Port factory. To what extent does the alliance announced today increase the worries that people there should be having?
The alliance announced today should have no impact on on that. It was said earlier, you may have dropped off, we need to pursue our own profit improvement plan in Europe on our own. Each side is pursuing their own, and it's going to involve evaluation up and down revenue and cost items, and we're working with our constituents to do that and with the goal of lowering our break-even.
But if costs are being cut generally, and you're talking about $2 billion savings synergies, won't that have a knock-on effect to the decisions you would make individually on specific factories, whether in Germany or whether in the UK?
I think it's way too early to even think about any of that stuff. The $2 billion in synergies are primarily materials, logistics, and capital and engineering.
Okay, thank you.
And our last question comes from the line of Bruce Gain with Automotive News Europe. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. What we were wondering about was, what makes this different from a very similar alliance with Fiat signed in 2000, which did not work that well? And why will this deal work when the other didn't? And we were wondering how this might be different.
This is Dan Ackerson, so I'll try to answer that question. First of all, obviously, I wasn't here. Fundamentally, the deal worked, but it was a bit unbalanced. There was a put option, as you recall, which unbalanced the relationship and kind of had a loaded gun at the head of General Motors. This is not anything nearly close to that. And as I said, the purchasing arrangement with Fiat in particular worked quite well. And so we do have some experience, some positive experiences coming out of Fiat. It wasn't all negative. I don't mean to imply that. What we have here, though, is a much broader relationship, in my opinion, in terms of co-development of different platforms, architectures, modules, et cetera, and the benefit of a global purchasing function that could accrue significant benefits to both parties. So, A, it's a more balanced relationship. B, there are known concrete synergies. And C, I think lessons were learned organizationally from past experiences that we will guard both parties to ensure that this is a healthy and a robust relationship between our organizations on a global basis.
Thank you.
Mr. Erks, I will now turn the call back to you. Please continue with your presentation or closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. We really appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.